May the Lord bless you all greatly. A very warm greeting to all brothers and sisters in different churches, in different places, in different countries. In all continents, we can now say that in all continents, you are all welcome today to our sermon, which is remembering, reading here the story of the early church, the beginning of the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here in this wonderful book of Acts of the early church, we find so many treasures. We find the manifestation of God. We find the fulfillment of the promises of God when he made them through his prophets, beginning with Moses. And God made promises for the future, for the latter days. And among those promises, the Lord spoke about forming a new people of a nation made up of people of different parts of the world. What a wonderful promise that God made through these great prophets, like Isaiah, like Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and all of those other prophets, Joel, Hosea, Amos. Those wonderful promises that God made, where he specified how his people would be in the future, a nation for our God, a nation that we're going to say is spiritual, because it's the combination or the coming together of hearts of different countries and different nations, where it's the heart of a being that turns to the temple of God. They become the church of the Lord, his people, led and guided by the Holy Spirit. And that is what we are here preaching and teaching, making known that in order for people to say that they truly belong to the people of God, or they are following an upright path, or they are following the path of the true gospel, in order for people to say this, they need to live the experiences of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It's not just by saying that whoever believes, they've received the Holy Spirit, but they have to live the experience. Everything needs to have proof. Just as the Lord manifested himself in the early church, we are here reading the story of the apostles, the first disciples of the Lord, speaking about the experiences of Paul. This is the way in which we are proving that everything that God promised in antiquity, he began to fulfill it with this people, with these disciples, fulfilling also at the same time the order that the Lord Jesus Christ gave his apostles, saying that they needed to go into all the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom. Into all the world, because the Lord said that they all had rights to salvation. And since the Lord gave this freedom and this order, we today, after so many years have passed by, over 2,000, we today are also enjoying of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And this fills us with happiness, with joy and gladness. And that is why we honor our God. That is why we give him the glory. That is why we ought to value our God and feel proud that we have been chosen for his glory, and that he will lead us by his hand to the end of our lives. That is our hope. And thanks be to our God for these wonderful promises for this fulfillment. So, because of this, we are here with the Bible open to read, to delight ourselves, so our faith may grow, so that our heart, our soul, our being may radiate in joy and happiness, having this Almighty God that lives. God lives and He speaks today. Glory to God. You may be seated, brothers and sisters. Welcome, brothers and sisters who are with me. And welcome all first-time guests and all casual attendees who love to watch and listen to the sermon, but they love it because God is making you fall in love. Because the word of the Lord captivates us. It enamors us. It makes us happy. And we feel happy here. And we do not get tired of reading the same thing, singing the same thing, asking God for the same things. We don't get tired of speaking to Him and saying the same things. We always say the same things to the Lord because He deserves it. And so today we continue here with our wonderful story that did not stay a story, but the Lord makes it a reality as well in our lives. Today, God is also making a reality of all of these events from the disciples and all of those people that at that time listened to the word of God and they converted and they followed the Lord. Therefore, today we are reading Acts 20. And we are going to read Acts 20 from 1 to 38. And we are going to be reading using our five senses. We are not going to think, what a beautiful story, or what a great narration. But at the same time, we are going to be comparing with what we today are living with God. And it says here in chapter 20 of Acts, it says, after the uproar had ceased, because we in the previous chapter have read that there was an uproar among the people, the defenders and the enemies of the apostles, one accusing and judging and the others defending. But God always gave a solution. He gave triumph, a victory. And so it says here in 20 verse 1, after the uproar had ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself, embraced them, and departed to go to Macedonia. Now when he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece. When it says encouraged them, he was preaching to them. He was preaching the gospel to all. Verse 3 says, and stayed 3 months. And when the Jews plotted against him, as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. And so Peter of Berea accompanied him to Asia, also Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe and Timothy, and Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia. Here we find, for example, Timothy, who was a young man dedicated to God, with gifts, with ministries, and how he also worked side by side with Apostle Paul. Verse 5, these men going ahead waited for us at Troas, but we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined them at Troas. Here we notice in verse 6 that the apostles at that time, they were respecting the feasts of the law of Moses. The feasts that God had ordered Moses to celebrate during the year. And they had the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The apostles were preaching the gospel, something that was very contradictory, perhaps, with the law of Moses. But they were waiting for God to work a miracle in the hearts and the mindsets of all of those followers of the law of Moses, so that they would be able to understand the doctrine. In the meanwhile, the apostles respected the law and they would fulfill it. But also, they preached the gospel. And as time went by, the Holy Spirit was teaching them what they needed to do and what they needed to stop doing because it was no longer necessary to do to fulfill certain requirements, certain rituals from the law of Moses. The Holy Spirit took it upon himself to teach them the doctrine. But in the moment of prudence, first they wanted to conquer many hearts. Then they knew that the Holy Spirit to each person was going to teach them. Just as our God has done today with us. Many people who have come to church from different religions, from different denominations and different congregations, each person has their ideas, their concepts, and yet the Lord does not criticize these things, but he speaks to the person with love and he encourages them so that the person may continue in God's path. And God makes promises. He tells them to press on. At no point does he criticize them for their life, for what they're practicing or their beliefs. But the Holy Spirit teaches them little by little. And then we are surprised when people, they themselves make the decision and they say, I'm going to stop doing this or that or believing in this because God has taught me. I feel that is not correct. And I'm going to continue on the upright path that God is paving for me. It's wonderful in the way that the Holy Spirit takes it upon himself to convert hearts and transform them and teach them and guide each person. That is how he has done with us. Thanks be to our God. He has done all of these things and he has taught us and he will continue to teach us. And to all of the people that convert for the first time, the Holy Spirit begins to work and to teach them, thanks be to our God. And so it says here that after the days of unleavened bread, they sailed from Philippi and in 5 days joined them at Troas, where they stayed 7 days. In verse 7 it says, now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together, when it says the first day of the week, he refers to Sunday. It says, when the disciples came together to break bread, so they broke bread. Remembering when the Lord Jesus says that he broke bread and gave them bread and wine and said, do all of these things in remembrance of me. You can do it as many times you want, when you want, in remembrance, so that you may not forget that the Lord is the one who gives salvation, that the Lord is the one who died on the cross of Calvary. He is the one who gave his life for the salvation of all who believe. That is why he established this sign, and he gave the order to the apostles to do it whenever they decided to. And so it says that Paul, on the first day of the week, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Imagine how much doctrine and how many words the Apostle Paul had or God gave him to teach all of those people who were listening to him, which weren't few, it was the people that would gather to listen to the word of the Lord and to see the miracles and the wonders that God would do in the people in the midst of Paul's sermon as he preached. And so this must have been very wonderful in those days, those events, those acts. Here it says that Paul's speech lasted a long time, that it was midnight. It says in verse 8, there were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. And in a window sat a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep. And as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. Well, we can imagine this event. Very difficult. Very worrisome. And in verse 10 it says, but Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him said, do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him. Paul prayed to the Lord. He prayed and asked God to work a miracle so that this young man would resurrect, because they were going to have a very serious problem there, because he fell, suffered an accident. And why? Because of sleep, because of tiredness, because of the many hours that Paul preached and taught the word of God. And the devil comes and places a snare, because all of these things are the snares of the devil. But thanks be to our God, since God lives and he is real, he worked the miracle, just as the miracles that God has done for many people. And in verse 11, it says, now when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed. He continued speaking and teaching the word of God. And they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. Thanks be to God that the young man did not break a bone. He didn't suffer any of these things. Thanks be to our Lord for these examples and all of these events. We see how the hand of God is in everything. How God manifests himself. He has manifested himself always, and he will continue to manifest himself. Because I do not get tired of teaching that God is the same yesterday. He does the same things. He does the same things as yesterday. Today, God is the same. He does not change. He has not changed. He is not going to change. God continues to manifest himself in the same ways. There may be technology, science has increased. There will be many modern things with time. People will most likely have wings and fly in the air. Most likely there will be many inventions, yes. Perhaps in the future, cars will no longer be on the ground, but also in the air, most likely. All of this is possible, it's probable. But God is the same. He will continue being the same. Human beings always will need of a supernatural being to protect them, to keep them, to help them and comfort them, to guide them, to support them. Human beings will always need a support from someone who is supernatural, because that is the support that we receive today by our God. We go around the world, but we always wait for the Lord to help us, keep us, and protect us. And so here in verse 13, it says, then we went ahead to the ship and sailed to Assos, there intending to take Paul on board, for so he had given orders, intending himself to go on foot. And when he met us at Assos, we took him on board and came to Mytilene. We sailed from there and the next day came opposite Chios. The following day we arrived at Samos, and stayed at Trogyllium. The next day, we came to Miletus. Here we see this journey of the disciples, very difficult, a very strenuous job for them in the evangelizing work. Today, we enjoy of easy transportation. We enjoy airplanes, which is faster and comfortable. But here, they needed to go by land or they had to take a boat. Or sometimes they would even have to go by foot. In verse 16, the story says, "For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia. He was hurrying to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost." So Paul wanted to be at the day of Pentecost, which was the feast that was given by God in the law of Moses. He wanted to be at that feast. He would take the opportunity of a feast of the people of Israel or of the Jews, because that is when people would gather together, when people would leave their homes, their jobs, and they would gather together to celebrate the feast. And Paul would take advantage of that crowd or the amount of people to evangelize, to preach to them, to speak the word of the Lord to them. That was the way that he would evangelize, using feasts, using the fact that people were there to speak to them. We today use the internet. We have modern technology. We talk and teach, and through the internet, many people can listen to us. Thanks be to the Lord. Thanks be to God. And here, Paul had to go to the feasts to take the opportunity of the crowds to speak the word of the Lord. But either way, they needed to preach the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. And let us continue with verse 17. "From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them." We notice that here they already had churches and congregations. In these places, there were elders that the apostle Paul established elders in each place so that they would preside over them and be there with each congregation. In verse 18, it says, "And when they had come to him, he said to them, 'You know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews.'" Here, Paul speaks and highlights that with all humility and with many tears and suffering, with many tribulations, he was serving God, preaching, teaching doctrine, and also working miracles and prophecies and imparting the spiritual gifts that were given at that time to all of the people, to all of the listeners, to all whom God wanted to bless. It was a full-time job, a difficult full-time job in the midst of many tribulations and tears, but it's a beautiful job done for God. And it says in verse 20, "How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house." Here he says that he would go to houses, teaching. I think that when he was going from house to house, there were many people who would invite him, and many listeners would say, "Come to my house. I need my family to hear the word of God." At a time where they were used to men being the ones to go out and be in the feasts, being part of them, generally the family, women would stay home, generally speaking, and there was a head of a household that said, "I want my entire family parents, siblings, to hear the word of God. And that is why he says that he would go from house to house preaching the word of the Lord. And I remember this reminds me that in the beginning, when we started, when this church started, when the Lord gave me the gift of prophecy, the church had not been established yet because there weren't people. He gave me the gift of prophecy, as I have always told you, that there were four of us who were praying for people. And when the Lord gave me the gift, he would send me to houses. He told me, go to this family. Of course, he would always send me to people that I had known. Since in the beginning, I would congregate and knew the things of God in an evangelical church. And in that evangelical church, we were there for 5 or 6 years. And so I met people and I made friends in the evangelical churches. And the Lord used those friends that I had, and he would send me to those people. He would say their names. He would say, go to Teresa, go to John, go to this family, go there and give them this message. Go to your family, go to your sisters, to your brothers. That is why I tell you as a testimony that we were praying on a Saturday and it was 4 a.m. and the Lord said, you need to go to Sachika because there will be a church there. And at once we went to Sachika, but it wasn't the time yet. But we went, and there I found people who I knew. I visited them at their homes, and I gave them prophecy, and the Lord spoke to them and made them beautiful promises in such a way that 20 years later, the church opened in Sachika, and those people to whom I had prayed over 20 years ago lived there still, and they were there as believers. That filled me with so much joy because the word of God did not go empty-handed. What God wanted happened. The Lord would send me to houses, and I went to all of these places, and I would bring the message and give them prophecy. Some believed, others didn't. Some said that was great. Others said that I was crazy, That is what they would say. Others would make me cry. Sometimes I would leave crying from one of those places. And I said, Lord, I don't want to prophesy ever again. I don't want to prophesy. And in order not to prophesy, I couldn't pray. Because when I would start praying, immediately prophecy would come out. And I said, I can't. I can't stop prophesying because then I would have to stop praying. And I can't stop praying. So I said, Lord, it's fine. I will continue prophesying. God won. Because I said no, but the Lord said yes. Very well. So this reminds me that many people at that time, they came with us and they congregated with us when the church started. They were very few because it's very difficult. Even though God is speaking to people, it's difficult for people to believe. And those who believe, it's because God has been in the hearts of these people. And in this way, the church began. This is the way that the church started. And I give thanks to the Lord, and I have just read that the Apostle Paul did the same thing. He used feasts from the law of Moses that he had taught because people would congregate there, and he also went from house to house. How wonderful, how beautiful. It's the same God. It's the same God because this God that taught Paul to do these things, going from house to house to preach, is the same God that 2,000 years later gave me the order as well to go from house to house. Glory to our God. Thanks be to our Lord for existing and being the same yesterday and today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In verse 21, it says, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, it says that he would go from house to house. He would use the feasts to gather people together and testifying to Jews and also to Greeks. In other words, not just to the people of Israel, but other nations, other people who were the Gentiles, about repentance toward God and faith In other words, believing in our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what Paul would preach. Verse 22, and see now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there. So he made the decision of going to Jerusalem. And he said, I don't know what's going to happen to me there in Jerusalem. But in 23, he says, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. How sad if today God with the Holy Spirit tells a person, chains and tribulations await you, the person would start crying and never come back to church. They would say, I'm not going back to that place. Look at what they said, that I'm going to suffer. No, I don't want that. Well, God knows who has the ability to bear. Paul had the ability to bear. He had dedicated himself to the Lord wholeheartedly, and he had made decisions in giving his life for the gospel, for the word of God. And so the Holy Spirit said, chains and tribulations await you. Yes, Lord, I will wait for it. I am here, Lord, to give my life for you. That is what Paul would say to the Lord. And in verse 24, it says, but none of these things move me, Paul says. So the Holy Spirit tells me, chains and tribulations await you, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race, or preaching the gospel, with joy, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus. He wanted to fulfill and to finish that race that he had started. And he had committed himself to follow the path of the Lord and to preach the gospel. And the Lord had given him that great ministry. And he said, I need to finish this. So I am not worried about what is to come. He says, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Thanks be to the Lord, because God is the one who puts in a person's heart and mindset this conviction, so the person may have this and be certain that truly they have believed in a true God, in a mighty God, in a God that deserves it all. And he will prepare us all and train us to follow him and to be able to face many difficulties in life. I have been victim to slander and insults, but that has not affected me at all. It doesn't worry me. I press on in God's path. The important thing is that the Lord is happy with me, with what I do for him. In the world, people, what they do or say, because it's the devil who does all of these things, that doesn't worry me. If people threaten me that they're going to take my life and they're going to do this and that, the Lord said, I'm not going to allow it. Press on. Work because I am with you. Yes, Lord, you are with me because God is mighty. If God is for us, who can be against us? No one. Glorious is the name of our God. And here, in 2 Timothy, here when Paul says, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Here in 2 Timothy, there is advice from Apostle Paul. He writes to Timothy and teaches him that he needs to behave in the house of God as a courageous, strong man of conviction so that God may support him and God may be with him and that he may do that job and continue with that job because he was implying that his days were few, his life was going to end, the Lord was going to call for him, but he was leaving his replacement. And he always looked after Timothy. And here in Timothy 4, in 2 Timothy 4, we are going to read very quickly from verse 1 to 8. And Paul says to Timothy, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. He says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Be ready. Be ready. Speak to people. Speak to them about God in season and out of season. Implying it's not just within the church that you speak about God. Outside in a place you will have the opportunity to testify about God and to talk to a soul about God and rescue it. And he says, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when people will not endure or accept sound doctrine. They will not tolerate it. Here it says they will not endure, but it means they're not going to tolerate or bear sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, those teachers, according to their own desires, because they're materialistic, because they are greedy, because they seek money only, profit, because they want to have the first places, because they want to be in high positions, ordering. Those are materialistic people, and they just want to flaunt for people to see them. They are all materialistic. And he says that the time will come, Paul would tell Timothy, the time will come when all of these things will happen, but you keep yourself pure. Keep yourself blameless. Speak and teach from your heart the word of God. And of those materialistic people, verse 4 says, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. In other words, they are not going to hear the word of the Lord, but they will want the easy way out and the things of the world and what people make up. In verse 5, but you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Timothy had that ministry of being an evangelist. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. God had already revealed to Paul the way in which he was going to die. He was going to be sacrificed. He says, I am ready to be sacrificed, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, Paul said. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul saying these things. Paul saying that he had finished, that he had done all the work. And I think that today, we don't think the same. Today, we say that we are just beginning and we have done nothing for the Lord. And the Lord has said that we need to talk about his word to all the world. And we say, how? How are we going to go to a certain country, a place where I don't know anyone, no one knows me? How will it be? In what way? Would we be able to be in those countries, those towns, faraway places, speaking to people, especially not knowing a language? But God, when He has a place chosen, and when God has chosen the hearts of those who are to be saved, He presents the opportunity so that these people may receive the word of the Lord. And He presents the opportunity so that the evangelists, or the apostles, or the prophets, or the teachers may be able to move themselves and contact those people, nations that are far, remote, and can do the work of evangelizing. Recently, there were brothers who have been traveling to some cities in Africa, some places, and they are there sowing the word of the Lord. And the Lord has manifested Himself, the Holy Spirit has manifested Himself, He has baptized some. And it's beautiful to see through photos, people praying and praising God with fervor. With fervor, because it's God who puts in people's hearts all of these things that they may convert. And the Lord, to whomever He wants to give, He gives that blessing, and languages don't matter. Thanks be to our God. And here, Paul is saying that he worked and he did everything. We cannot do the same. Today we tell the Lord, we are just starting. I haven't done the work. And he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not just to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Glory to God. How wonderful is Paul saying these things, giving suggestions and teaching Timothy to prepare himself and to be there, because the work must continue. The work must continue. And today, thanks be to God, the Lord is manifesting Himself. And we must value the work of the Holy Spirit. Value it because God wants to give us many things. God wants to train us, give us power, give us support, abilities. But we allow ourselves to be dragged down by materialism, by modern life, by attractions, by all of those things that produce pleasure. We are moved by all of these things, and that prevents God from manifesting in our lives and give us that power, that fullness of His Spirit, so that we may work and serve God, and the world and people may see the miracles and wonders that God does using human beings. And God has placed us, He has called us for this work. But we need to pray and make an effort, because materialism is very strong. The things of the world are very attractive. And so our hearts are filled with all of these attractive things. And we forget, or we become lazy, or we are not careful with our spiritual life. And we become stagnant, and God cannot manifest Himself. And we want for God to use us and for God to manifest Himself in our lives so that we may give to many. We want for God to give us the gifts and to work and serve God, that many people may be healed, that many people may be delivered, that many people may be happy and live life with God. That is what we want and desire. But God is waiting for us to give so that He may use us, because God uses human beings to bless other human beings. So we must not look so much or feel greedy for the world, nor the things of the world, because then we are going to be stagnant. We will not receive one or the other, but we will just be stagnant. We want to progress and prosper in our spiritual lives. And there are people that may say, oh, how boring a spiritual life is. It's so boring, but look at the world. Look at all the pleasures. How wonderful. How wonderful it is to be at a party where people are drunk and are drug addicts and a place where people go crazy and then they begin to shoot and kill one another with knives and with weapons, whatever it may be, to envy and to avenge each other. And that's it. That's pleasure to you? That's not pleasure. That's not happiness. Happiness was just for a moment. Then tragedy came. Sadness. And so God's path is better. The path with the Lord is better. It's better to walk with God. With God, it's complete happiness. With God, you can go to the beach and enjoy the beach because you're going to be with God. And God makes it so that you enjoy it and enjoy the beach. Someone else goes to the beach who doesn't have God because they want the pleasure of the world. Then they're going to find tribulation, tragedy, because that is what abounds constantly with human beings. And so when we are without God, God does not protect us. He does not keep us. So we're alone, exposed to danger. And when we are with God, God is there keeping us and He is making it so that we're happy. And something so small and minimal, we find happiness and peace in it. And that we may enjoy the small things. Because to enjoy in life, we don't need to have millions and millions of dollars, but just to have a powerful God in our heart. And with something so small, God makes us so happy. Because the happiness that God gives is incomparable in the world. Nothing can give us happiness. It's our God. And so here in verse 25, going back to Acts, we were up to verse 25. It says, "And indeed, now I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more." He wrote to Timothy and said, and here he's also telling people who are listening to him, that he was not going to go back to be with them because, well, the Lord was going to take him. "Therefore, I testify to you this day," in other words, I am telling you, I am saying to you, I'm telling you these things, "that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." He is saying, I have preached it. God has given me the revelation, and I have made all of the doctrine known to you. 28. "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Here we see the gifts, the ministries, the work that God gives his people. He says, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." And how sad, because that is what happened. This happened because the gospel of the Lord was working fine until Paul's life. We don't know whether it was the first or second century. But up to Paul, everything was fine. But once he died, then the devil came and destroyed the flock, the church, because they introduced within the congregation the materialist. The materialists came and destroyed the church. The greedy, the proud, the rebellious, the arrogant, the greedy, covetous, who only thought about their position and having high positions and being over everyone. And they did not preach with sincerity the word of God. And what did God do? He turned away from them. The Holy Spirit turned away. And God was not with them, supporting them. Therefore, they allowed themselves to be moved by their greed, by other people. They were moved by governments at that time, the Roman Empire, by idols, by idolatry, by all of these things, they were all dragged down because in their hearts, there was no sincerity for God, but they were filled with materialism, and that materialism entails all. Among them is greed and also competition. Some had to be better than others. And it is said that they began to ask people for money to give prophecy. For a laying on of hands, they asked for money. To give prophecy, they would ask for money. If there was healing, then they asked for money. And to this day, there are many congregations and many places where they still do this. They ask for money, for laying on of hands, for prophecy, for healing. What's your petition? According to your petition, this is how much money you have to give. What do you want? What do you want? According to what you want, then they have to figure out how much they have to pay for God to give it to them. That is materialism. That is people's greed, the greed for money. And all of this started at that time after Paul. Then idolatry came. Then the saints came. Then all of the idols and people's gods of all of those who have heard the word of God. Those who followed the path died, and the new people, they were all in the midst of confusion, in the midst of materialism and greed. How sad that the church ended there and God turns away from them and leaves them alone for a long time. Because we see in history that many centuries went by where people lived without God. And in history, we read many sad and painful things that happened. And there will be another time to talk a little bit about this. I will also talk about this. I will wait because it takes some time. It takes time. But we're going to continue here. Exactly what Paul prophesied happened, where savage wolves will come, not sparing the flock. They would destroy the church. And then he says in verse 30, also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves, of course, to confuse them, threatening them. Well, many unpleasant things happened. Therefore, watch. And remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Glory to God. That means that he was not materialistic. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. He liked to work a lot to support himself because he did not want for people to give him the things that he needed, his food, clothes, and money for travel. Although God did say those who preach the word need to live of the word because they are like the ox that works. We need to feed the ox that works. Those who preach then live off of your work. But Paul said that he was very prudent and said, no, I am working. I like to work. Very well. In verse 35, it says, I have shown you in every way. By laboring like this, you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Well, glory to God. And when he had said these things, he knelt down, Paul, and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely. Kneeling also helps a lot. Sometimes people don't do it. Well, in congregations, we don't do it because there's no space. But when you make time at home, when you're alone, when you are going to pray to the Lord, kneel, because it's more reverent. It's reverent. And you humble yourself. By kneeling, you humble yourself before the Lord and you say, Lord, look, I'm on my knees. And it's like you're humbling yourself. And it's better, and God is happier with our prayer because that is what he wants. So kneeling and lifting your hands to pray to the Lord, it's also very beautiful because you're doing it with that reverence, with that faith, believing that God is there looking at me and listening to me. And it's beautiful to pray this way to our God as well. So it says that Paul prayed. He knelt down with them all. Then they all wept because they were all saying goodbye. And how sad, because he says, I am leaving, but I'm never going to see you again because I'm going to die. And everyone fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. Those are sad moments, right? Sad moments, but either way, the greatest satisfaction is that Paul said, I have done all the work that God appointed me. Everything that God told me to do, I have done. I have finished my race, he said. But well, just as Paul persecuted the church, God used him, but he also allowed for many tribulations to come to him as trials, perhaps as part of a punishment because of his behavior in the beginning. But the important part is to attain eternal life. The important thing is to walk with God and to live with God. We give thanks to our God and we ask our God to help us all, that we may continue working, that the Lord may give us the gifts, that the Lord may manifest himself and the Holy Spirit may continue to teach us and lead us. And it would be wonderful to ask the Lord that when we are no longer here, that the church of the Lord may continue in perfection until the Lord comes in the clouds. That is the desire of our hearts. And we ask the Lord that the Lord may come in the clouds, and when he comes in the clouds, his church may be here waiting for him. And all of the believers and everyone who seeks God, who loves God, and truly in this world, people may know the word of the Lord and be happy. We give thanks to our God because of this. Let us stand and pray to our God. Holy Father, Heavenly Father, Lord of heaven and earth, mighty God, mighty King, blessed, holy of holies, King of kings, the Lord of lords, blessed is our God, who created the heavens and earth. Blessed is our God, who has existed always. Our God exists. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same. He does not change. He does the same things and manifests himself in the same ways. He works miracles and heals. Even if technology or science advances, human beings will continue to be the same, with the same sadness, the same heart, the same thoughts, wanting to triumph, wanting to be rich, perhaps. Human beings don't change. For human beings, there is nothing modern. Science will not be able to touch people. Of course, human beings will admire of everything that humans create. But human beings will continue with their hearts, with their soul and being, needing of the God of heaven. They will always need the help and protection of the Almighty God. Human beings will always need of my Lord. Yes, my Father, you know it. And that is what we reflect upon and think about. And we have come to this conclusion that everything will pass and things will change and everything will be transformed. But human beings, we will always need of you, my Lord. Thank you, everlasting God. I ask, my Lord, that you may extend your merciful and powerful hand. Just as 2,000 years ago, you worked miracles and healing, wonders and miracles for many people. Today as well, Lord, since you are the same, today also, we need, Lord, for you to work miracles, for you to heal each person. Look, Lord, at your sons and daughters who are in the church who have converted. They are sick. They have incurable illnesses. Look at cancer. Look also upon that incurable illness, AIDS, and Down syndrome, all of those mental illnesses, spiritual as well, my Lord. And many cry out to you and they're asking you for healing, for deliverance. Have mercy, Lord. Listen to their prayer. Listen to their pleas. Look at the pain and the suffering of each person that cries out to you. Also, Lord, I ask that you may listen and look upon the petitions and needs and the desires of the hearts of each person. Lord, extend your mighty hand. Have mercy, Lord. Do not look at faith, because perhaps some do not have enough faith or trust. And so for them, it's difficult. But your love, your mercy will bless them, will heal them, will cleanse them, and remove spiritual bonds and chains. You will remove all curses and snares of the wicked one. Thank you, Holy Father. In the glorious name of Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, thank you, Father. The honor and glory to our God.
Solamente en Cristo, solamente en Él, la salvación se encuentra en Él. No hay otro nombre dado a los hombres. Solamente en Cristo, solamente en Él. Solamente en Cristo, solamente en Él, la salvación se encuentra en Él. No hay otro nombre dado a los hombres, solamente en Cristo, solamente en Él.
Glory to the Lord. Thank you, Lord Almighty. The honors for our God. Thank you all. May God bless you. May the Lord pour showers of blessings to all. A very big hug. And for the children, the kiss as usual. May my God bless you. See you soon. Thank you very much. I love you with all of my heart. Thank you.